The Great Pyramid. Could it have been built in just 9 months? It defies belief. But is it possible?
Oh, wait, are you serious?
No, obviously it's not possible, and despite him claiming in the title that there's no aliens involved in this, I don't see any other way he's going to pull this off, and by the end of the video, I think you're going to agree with me. Hello and welcome to Dedunking. I'm Dan, and in this video, we're going to be addressing Night Scarab's fractal ramp theory. It's almost as out there as the ancient aliens hypothesis, and even though, like I said, he claims it has nothing to do with it, he likes to use a lot of their same style of argumentation. He likes to shift the goalposts, and he also likes to posit false obstacles to other hypotheses, that way his looks more robust. An example of him shifting the goalposts is, well, a large part of his hypothesis relies on the pyramid being made out of mostly rubble and roughly cut stones. So he starts off with it being...
If the pyramid contains pockets of pure rubble, they could be on the order of 15 cubits wide. If so, about a quarter of the Great Pyramid is pure rubble.
But then he moves it to...
And here's a complete pie chart by volume. The majority are block fractions. Squarish, but not full size. To sum up this analysis, 83% of the pyramid are smaller chunks and pure rubble.
Shifting a maybe into the conclusion of his final analysis. He also likes to exclude other hypotheses by saying there's obstacles that were bigger than they should be. For example, chalking is something that you do to, like, put a wedge behind a tire to keep a car from rolling down a hill. But he claims that you can't do that on a sled.
If the rope breaks, a chalk, or a wooden beam with a square cross-section, dragged behind the block, will prevent the block from rolling back. No other method of raising stones, including sleds, offers such a safety measure.
But you absolutely can do that on a sled. A simple wedge will work behind a piece of wood just as well as it will a wheel. Eventually, he takes us to his fractal ramp hypothesis. These fractal ramps were supposedly made out of mud brick and very densely packed on top of the pyramid. Each one of the stones was wrapped in some mud brick wheels, basically, to form a cylinder that was able to be rolled up these ramps. At the top of each ramp is a platform. On each one of these platforms were some men operating a lever machine. They would use this to maximize as much efficiency to get these things as up as possible, as quickly as possible, winding their way up the pyramid in a machine type of structure. Now, the first major obstacle to this would be the drawbridge system.
There's a triangular overlap between two connected ramps. A wooden drawbridge covers this overlap. One or more bridge operators control the bridge, depending on the force required.
This drawbridge system is going to require significantly more support than it shows in the video, and it's going to require a lot more work than just raising and lowering it. You're going to be pulling multi-ton stones over the top of this thing. You can't have it shift or settle, or that stone's going to fall. Another major problem with his proposal is this ratcheting system using rope and wood.
Manual ratcheting involves pauses during the inactive phase. To minimize such pauses, we'll have two sets of four men, alternating their lift actions. The levers have notches to grasp the rope knots. The levers have some play to make catching knots easier.
The rope would not last very long at all with such a heavy load and being pulled against a piece of wood with such a pronounced lip that it could grab onto it. It would fray and break rather quickly, and he knows that rope is a weak point in these things.
If you bundle the rubble in a net, it would stretch and bend all over the place. Plus, the ropes would tear against the pyramid stones. Once assembled, mud brick rollers can be run over a puddle of hot tar or mud to get a thin layer on their contact surface. This will protect the rope from small, sharp stones and improve the weight distribution.
He also claims his entire hypothesis doesn't include the casing stones as his ramps rest against the core masonry of the pyramid. So how are the casing stones done? You need an entire new system of ramps to bring the casing stones up there, making this entire thing kind of moot.
This video assumes the casing was laid separately, so ramps are shown on the uncased surface.
But the biggest issue by far is him excluding the actual placing of the stones. He readily admits this is just about raising the stones. It has nothing to do with actually setting them into place.
We'll show that, at the shortest theoretical extreme, it's possible to raise the pyramid blocks in about 9 months. For a 4-minute lift cycle, this method can raise the volume of stone of the Great Pyramid, minus the estimated rock outcrop, in 276 days, or about 9 months.
And this mentality really shows when you think about one of those stones being rolled all the way up and actually placed into position. Those wheels, those rollers, need to come off, and they're large pieces of mud brick, and they have to go somewhere. There's no room on the ramp to just store them. They can't be thrown off because all the ramps are packed like sardines and somebody's going to get hurt. And Night Scarab himself says nobody's descending these ramps.
There's no work crew on the ramp itself, besides, from time to time, a rope handler. Thus, no space on the ramps is taken up by crews descending from the pyramid, nor their empty sleds.
So I don't know what he thinks happened to these. He can claim no aliens were involved, but the only way that I can see these discs getting down under his hypothesis is if they were flying saucers. And half the ramps that he posits are going to be needed for descending discs. And on top of that, they're going to need to be bigger because the drawbridge system doesn't work, so they're going to have to be wider. And they're also going to have a larger platform for more men to be on the platform in order to raise these cylinders up there because that ratcheting rope system won't work. Plus, there's a safety issue. Just dropping your lunchbox or your bottle of beer is going to kill somebody when you've got those things packed like that. There's a reason you don't see that kind of crap on construction sites today, because it will kill people. Mistakes happen, and if you've got people stacked like sardines, people are going to die. And on top of that, even if you think the Pharaoh doesn't care about the people, those ramps are going to get damaged. Imagine one runaway stone toppling down that. Now, there are numerous other problems with that video, from the Center Island hypothesis to the mud brick rollers being mass-produced. But if I was to spend a couple of minutes addressing each one of those problems in his 53-minute video, we would be here for a very long time. Now, I tried to just leave a comment on his video and just communicate my issues with him there. He deletes all comments that are critical of his take, so this is the only viable option. Which is why I'm editing a little bit different than I normally do. I'm a little bit worried that he might also try to copyright strike this. I could be wrong, but it's not a big stretch to assume that somebody that will call their comments section would also press the copyright button. So in order to build the pyramid in 9 months, you're going to need some futuristic material to build those drawbridges out of. You're going to need a magical rope that won't tear or fray. You're going to need flying discs to be the rollers for each one of those stones. You're going to need stones that when you bring them up to the appropriate height, well, they just place themselves where you want them. And you're going to need core masonry stones that actually bring themselves up to that height and place themselves where they want them, all on their own. Now, he's not saying that aliens are what did this. But I'm going to say that I don't know of any other hypothetical civilization that has all the tech that would be required to do that. Even Atlantis isn't supposed to be able to levitate stones 300 feet up in the damn air, man. Come on. Okay, thank you so much. If you enjoy this type of content, I make a lot of it. Click the buttons down below, and we'll see you next time.
The real world places constraints on theories. In this video, we'll assume that casing stones were laid separately, so ramps will be shown resting on the stepped courses.
Now, what if a person formulates a hypothesis and devises a model, but fails to collect all the necessary data, neglects to conduct experiments, and doesn't test the hypothesis against more data? Is that person practicing archaeology? If they fail to perform all the steps, no. But if their data falls far short of what is needed for the subject, or if their experimentation is sorely lacking, in other words, they don't even come close to performing the necessary work, they're not practicing archaeology. They are, in fact, doing pseudo-archaeology.